right, welcome and good morning to everybody out there. As we got a lot of stuff going on, and what would a day be without, as you just heard in the update from Hollywood, a little Antonio Brown. It's been a lot of Antonio Brown, some of it entertaining, but the latest one, I heard that one last night, and I was like, oh, no, this got to be an old, and you know, no, this a new one with Antonio Brown, who apparently, along with Drew Rosenhaus, apparently forgot to tell the New England Patriots, hey, before I do my press conference and you introduce me as a new wide receiver for the New England Patriots, unless the team comes out today and go, yeah, we knew all about it. We couldn't wait to get to this one. This is just what the Patriots need. So Antonio Brown, the New England wide receiver, which sounds really weird to say.
It does sound weird to say.
Accused of rape by a former personal trainer, Brittany Taylor, three separate occasions, which that in itself, I'm sure a lot of guys, I know you got to be careful on the radio how you say this, but three separate times it happens. After one, don't you kind of get the hell out of there? I'm just thinking off the top, there's going to be a lot of people privately going, three separate times? Like, it happened. And, of course, AB comes out and goes, no, we had a sexual relationship. No question about that. And, of course, right when I hear that, I'm AB like, you must not be real tight with your girlfriend or your wife or whatever your relationship you're in right now to go ahead and throw that one out there. So, recently, outside all the football stuff, they gave us great entertainment. And everybody had opinions on everything with the Raiders and what happened and even the Raiders going to the Patriots. He has had issues with a trainer that he took to California that he never got paid. Celebrity chef still waiting to get paid from the 2018 Pro Bowl for about $38,000. And now these allegations, and there are allegations right now, and who knows. And he said and she said, and they went to college together, and I have no idea. I don't know. You know, they're saying it's a money grab and her side story. Either way, it's not good for Antonio Brown because right now everything in the league in the NFL seems to happen to Antonio Brown. And the only reason we care, getting back to the original part of this, is the guys, when he plays football, he's really, really good.
Right. But is it worth all the off-the-field stuff too now?
I don't know what the team does.
The Patriots put out a statement, by the way. We are aware of the civil lawsuit that was filed earlier today against Antonio Brown, as well as a response from Antonio's representatives. We take these allegations very seriously. Under no circumstances, this organization condones sexual violence or assault. The league has informed us that they will be investigating. We will have no further comment until the investigation takes place.
Right. And who knows? He said, she said, and everything else. But I was waiting for the Patriots to say, but hey, we got a game Sunday against the Dolphins. So why would you guys worry about all that? I got to get him ready for a game. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know if he's going to play. Everybody wants to know if he's going to be in uniform this week and playing with everything going on.
He might be put on that commissioner exempt list,
yeah,
right? Isn't that what might happen at this point?
I saw that, and they could have him hold out because the league's a little sensitive to the bashing they've been taking for the way they've handled circumstances, especially when you talk about somebody, one of their players, being accused of rape. It's a serious, serious allegation, obviously, and everything with it. So then on top of that, anybody catch old Dennis Rodman last night? They promoted the hell. I got to give ESPN credit. They promoted it so much, it literally got me to stay up at 9 o'clock and go, okay, I'm going to hang in there as long as I can and see about it. Speaking of some guys with issues and demons from growing up and his relationship with his mother, which wasn't very good, isn't very good, and father not around and everything with that guy, but his story is just incredible, and he's down here a lot, and you probably, there's a good chance if you get out, you've run into Dennis Rodman
Fort Lauderdale
somewhere.
Or Miami. Doesn't matter where
he gets around. And at one point, I actually had a guy come up to me and say, yeah, Dennis, my roommate right now. And I went,
what?
Ooh.
Your roommate? What do you mean?
He had a roommate.
Really?
Like a guy that was, I want to say a golf pro or something, came up to me and go, yeah, Dennis lives with me right now. Or, you know, we're roommates or something. And I went, oh.
That's a wild one right there.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting one.
Right, that's it.
When that was going on, that was kind of a crazy one.
I've seen him out plenty of times. Unfortunately, those times were at adult establishments too. I've seen him out there when we had events places.
And I actually saw him the last time I saw him. He must have just got, because there was reports that he was in rehab. He just gotten out, and he was over at the games place where the kids have the games.
Oh, like one of the Dave and Buster's.
Dave and Buster's in Hollywood. Yeah. He was sitting there at the bar. And I went, wow, got a new kind of program for rehab there. Apparently get out and go have a beer with some friends.
That's not the greatest rehab program.
So, you know, it was one of those where you just kind of walk and buy it.
Right.
When I was there, and I went, okay, I got enough of my own stuff, man. I'm going to let this one go and pretend I didn't see it, because I remember calling going, hey, didn't Dennis, like, people think he's in rehab, or he just got out of rehab, and he's sitting here at the bar, apparently.
What was it, a two-hour, like, 30 for 30? Is that what it was, like 2 hours fully or an hour and 30 minutes?
I didn't
They could have made a 10-hour one.
Yeah, no. Listen, he
could have been a five-parter. You know what I mean?
He's had stories that will last for a lifetime.
Well, outside of all that, how about just the craziness, and I saw it even when they were promoting it, the North Korea stuff. You know, like that kind of stuff. Like,
became good friends.
Right. Like, yeah, just that.
The dictator.
Outside
there.
Of just all the stuff he did here on the court, off the court, I told you that I know a story about him back in the day about one of the ex-coaches, the story when he was sitting in the truck outside of Auburn Hills, the palace, and he
thinking
had the
about
gun,
ending it, yeah.
And, like, I knew one of the coaches that had to go there. Like, I heard those stories. I'm like, what? Like, wow, I thought all this was kind of just, you know, thrown around there. No, it's true. All this stuff is true.
Well, listen, man. I do say this, and not always a great parent myself, that, you know, boy, kids need moms and dads,
right,
man. I'm not here to lecture anybody, and could have done a better job through divorce myself and everything else. But
you see what happens when it's just not around, or there's nothing at all, and it's toxic in the house. Like, you see, this is what happens.
I tell guys, hey, man. Listen, I'm talking from experience. You're seeing that kid of yours. You know, hey, man, I don't care what the deal with mom is. You gotta try to make it work while you're going back and forth, and it can get ugly. And we use our kids as shields sometimes to go back and forth and use them when we're angry one way or the other at the other former partner or ex or whatever it might be. So, yeah, it was. I just saw Dennis Rodman just screaming with that last night. Didn't have a lot of nice things to say about his mom, and she kicked him out of the house a few times, and ended up in Oklahoma with this white family, and the mother's calling him the N-word, and he still stayed, and he wasn't bothered by it. And others are saying, "You got to be bothered by it. What the hell?" Didn't mean anything to me, you know, and I just felt love there with their family. And this lady goes, "Yeah, I called him the N-word." And I was like, "Jeez."
Right. This is the mother figure in your life.
He's going to his basketball town. They got rebel flags all over. Right. He goes, "Yeah, they weren't real big on black people." And I was like, "God." Guy played basketball there and of course went on and his story with Detroit and then later on with Chicago and everything. Just a crazy
of those great
story.
Bulls teams, that second tier of the three of those Bulls teams that were a lot of fun to watch.
Pippen,
he was a big part of it.
Pippen,
yeah.
Jordan, and Rodman,
right.
Pretty good starters with all the other supporting cast.
No Kukoc in there too.
Of all the guys they had. That was pretty good stuff. So anyway, we got all kinds. Of course, we got the Miami Dolphins getting set for the Patriots. Speaking of that, the spread has now gone 14.5 to 19.
Right.
And moving. It's on the move. It's I'm guessing
21.5 will be the final one.
By the time
we
get into Saturday, it'll be in the 20s.
Well, everyone's
sure.
Taken. I'll tell you what, and here's another kind of weird one for this. Fantasy football. Everyone in the world, in my league too, and all the leagues I'm in, have been bidding all week long. Since the end of the game and since they saw the schedule for week two, I'm getting the Patriots defense against the Dolphins offense.
Oh yeah.
Like, that's the
good
number
bet.
One kind of trending defense this week because of the fact that you see what the Dolphins offense looks like, and now the Patriot defense is coming into town.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if it's so much about all these defenses. Maybe we'll find out down the road as they play everybody else, or is it more about the Dolphins offense and all the stuff?
I'm sure that has something to do with it.
That's been said. So I get a call. I didn't see it all, but I get a call from California going, "Dude, did you see what the – Ravens were saying about the Dolphins?" And I mean, it is dogpiling right now as far as what happened in that game. And it was it just gets, I know they got to move on and get ready for the Patriots, because there'll be no sympathy pity party when the Patriots come to town. They'll try to beat their brains in too. But I got to tell you, man, that was, you talk about one of the greatest hangovers in a Miami Dolphins game, besides the fact it was your home opener, to lose like that. It's just been amazing, the stories that have come out both on the field and off the field and all the stuff about veteran players and guys and the pointing fingers at how long's the head coach going to last and the general manager. Stephen Ross can't be happy. He didn't even want some of these guys and told the team. And Chris Greer didn't want to go. So there is Chris Greer didn't want to pick who the owner liked and told him maybe we had to move down and get some different guys. And he wanted, you know, Chris Greer goes, no, Minka Fitzpatrick's way too good. And then he's sitting up there watching that game the other going, Minka Fitzpatrick who?
Way too good, huh?
Yeah, that was that wasn't real good. So anyway, it's
ugly. That's what it is right now.
It's a crap show right now as everybody going to be talking about it and see how this team bounces back and what it's going to look like and the adjustments. And by the way, I agree. It was a really poor job with the coaching. And I don't mean individual coaching as much as schemes that were set up. It was just no adjustments made during the game, and which the coaches have come out and admitted they could have done a better job. I don't know how they – of course they better, or it could get real ugly. Speaking of that, man, it's not just here. How about Adam Gase and what he's going through right now up there? They've been getting on him saying he's not taking enough responsibility for the team and for their problems, and he's been letting his players have it pretty good, and he pulled an Adam Gase special. I don't know if anybody else saw it. Demaryius Thomas, he picked him up, and I went, oh, Adam, don't do it again. Picking up one of your former players
right.
at the end of their – and I thought, I don't know if anybody else went, Julius Thomas.
Right.
Demaryius Thomas, Julius Thomas. That's all I could think of.
Jay Cutler.
You're not going back. You're not going back to glory days of Denver Broncos. Don't do that. It's not Peyton Manning's 50 touchdown season, and those guys all in their early 20s. They're way past that. Don't do it. Don't do it, man. Anyway, we got a lot more stuff to get here to get to this morning. ESPN comes out with their top 150 college football all-time teams, and they're really hard to do. I know they make for great conversation, and I've been around long enough to remember all the teams that were there and some of the great ones, and, of course, that brings in Miami Hurricanes, who have had some great football teams. But believe it or not, they're not going to be happy, and the fans aren't going to be happy where their 2001 team is ranked compared to some other teams. So we'll come back, talk a little bit about that. Got a lot more stuff to get to here, including who might be doing the Super Bowl show at halftime in Miami this year. All that straight ahead. Stay with us. Let's do it, man. All right, welcome back, and good morning to everybody. Hope everybody out there is doing well as we get set to go. And the Miami Dolphins, oh boy. New England Patriots will be coming to town on Sunday. I guess the only question now is Antonio Brown coming home to play or coming home to watch or being asked to stay away from the game if Bill Belichick feels like he might be a distraction. So that could also happen. This you couldn't make all this Antonio Brown stuff up. You really, like there's stuff breaks and you see Antonio Brown and you're like, what could be next?
Well, what next? That's it.
You couldn't make all this up with all this stuff. Going back to the whole Oakland Raider, which has got to go down as one of the most bizarre couple of months we've ever had. I mean, it's by itself. And then on top of that, the way he gets out of town, it looks like it's good. Then it's not good. Then they cut him after his guarantees are taken away. Before he could literally get the call that he was cut, he had a deal done with the New England Patriots, going to get ready to go there. And the next thing you know, we've got allegations of rape three separate times by a former personal trainer. By the way, he hadn't done real well with personal trainers. Looking back to another trainer he took to California, it was supposed to be, I guess, a famous trainer out here. And the guy goes, it was great working with you. I just didn't get paid. Like, you haven't paid me yet. And then, of course, we got the celebrity chef still waiting to get $38,000-plus back. We've got that. Like, you couldn't make all this stuff up, man. And we're going to have Jeff Darlington coming on. Early 7 o'clock hour. JD somehow has gotten a great relationship with Antonio Brown. And now Antonio Brown, after doing that interview, feels pretty comfortable with him. So we'll talk to Jeff early this morning about all this this craziness. Like, this is getting where it ranks up with you couldn't make all this stuff up. And what will Bill Belichick do? I know some – I don't think they'll get rid of him. I don't think they'll cut him. I know some people think, like, the team's just going to go, you're done. Goes allegations. I didn't do anything. She's just trying to get money out of me. You're done, man. I don't think that's going to happen.
It's just an interesting situation because this would be – I mean, what? Since March, this is team three now. He didn't play one down for Oakland, forced his way out, yeah. Got all the guaranteed money. Everything he wanted in Pittsburgh – when he was leaving, he got it in Oakland. Then he wanted out of Oakland. I want out. And we all saw the underlining thing of probably wanted to play for New England to start off with, but Pittsburgh didn't want to deal him there. Then he gets to New England, and we're now, what, a couple days away from here's the big return to Miami for him and as a Patriot, and now all the accusations come out. It's like, you're right, it's in every – the camera should be on him every day following him around. This would be a great reality TV show.
Well, he's got cameras running for social media. He's not lacking that. The thing too is, and I understand his guarantees were taken away, I guess, and they put a big fine on him, and that sounded like it kind of closed the door for him. I don't know if they would have kept the guarantees, if he would have stayed or not. Who knows? Anybody tries to figure this guy out, I'll just say this to everybody that's got an opinion on this and thinks they know him. And Carson Palmer had a really interesting take the other day. He was asked on NFL Network, hey, how do you think this Antonio Brown thing's going to work? And he goes, I don't think it's going to work. And so they're kind of surprised, like, why? He goes, he freelances his routes. Like, he's a quarterback's worst friend because he might be told to run a certain route, but it doesn't look like it's open, and he just kind of freelances. And he goes, he gets open, but you just don't know where he's going, and it makes it really hard. And
how's that going to work for Brady McDaniels and Bill Belichick?
Well, it won't. But
it won't.
I was thinking of Carson must talk to Big Ben and went,
right.
Good luck on this one, man. Hold on to the ball as long as you can. If you're telling him, run whatever you want, I'll throw it to you. So that was his take. It had nothing to do with being on time or any of that stuff. His was Brady's going to get frustrated with freelancing a routes where they have such a strict system of how they do things and timing and all the things they work on to be so special, which, by the way, all teams work on and like to know where your receivers are going to be. Freelancing doesn't usually work. If you're supposed to run a 10-yard out route or a 15-yard square in, everybody kind of likes you to be in that area, man. It works a lot better.
You mean not just take off head all the way down on a slant? Like, no, right?
I ran a takeoff. I just felt it was open. I know, man, but I didn't know you were doing that. I hit the defensive back right in the numbers, man. What the hell are you doing?
I would assume there's 31 quarterbacks in the league that maybe at certain points you can get away with that if that was the case, and he probably did with Big Ben a little bit, and he might have with Carr. Brady, it's just different, right? Like, this is a structured type of thing. And
I think they're all structured, Jack.
Oh, no, I understand that. No, I'm not saying you can't get away with it everywhere, but
nobody Brady goes in this freelance offense, on three.
Well, obviously, Big Ben, it worked there for a while because I'm sure he did it there also, especially if Big Ben is if he was the one chirping in Carson Palmer's ear about that, if they had a conversation, Big Ben probably brought that up, and Carr probably would have brought that up a year from now if that's the case. Yeah, he's great. Antonio's awesome. Every once in a while, he does his own thing. He gets open. But I feel like with Brady in the system, you just can't – if you don't go down the same road as everyone else, you usually don't stay very long in New England.
No matter how
good you are.
I just don't think and maybe Ben did, like, tried to do the best he could with all those holding on to the ball with that good offensive line and throwing all those passes down the field. We'll see. Listen, New England's got a good offensive line and see how I am curious, like everybody else, to see how it's going to work out. Now, they happened to play against the Steelers in week one and didn't need AB. They didn't need anybody. They won by 4 touchdowns, so they were in good shape. This other story coming out, and it always makes for a great conversation, especially for Canes fans. ESPN comes out with their top 150 college football all-time teams. Nebraska, the 1971 team, which I do remember a little bit, the late Johnny Rogers, who did it all offensively and returned kicks and had it. And so I remember that. And, of course, they've got the 2001 Miami Hurricanes team, the highest-rated team they have, at seventh overall, the Rose Bowl team, in case you're wondering what team that was, and Dorsey. And it's so funny when you go 2001, I go Dorsey and Ed Reed's team. But there were a lot of great players on that team. They were across the board, both sides, loaded with tight ends, linebackers. The freshman class that was on special teams ended up being one of the great classes in the drafts as well, and all that stuff. So they come in at sixth, which or come in at seventh. USC 13-0 team comes in second, and the USC 12-0 team comes in third from 2004, which is Leinart and Bush. And the 12-0 team comes in, which was, and I'm going back in time, Lynn Swann and Anthony Davis. Anybody remembers old Anthony Davis from those Notre Dame games and five touchdown games and all that stuff when the Notre Dame-USC game was the game. Of course, you didn't have 250 games going on at the same time like we do now. So the USC-Notre Dame games were really special back then. The Clemson team, 2018 at 15-0, that beat the you-know-what out of Alabama. I don't have a problem with that team. That team, I don't know how it's going to turn out. The only thing I would say about all these teams, and the Texas team at 13-0, that beat the USC team, that big upset. That was a good team, and that game was going back and forth. One of the fun games to watch, USC.
Yeah, well, that's one of the best games in college football history, sure.
That was awesome, right down the wire. Nobody, they really struggled to stop each other in that game. But I would just say, and this all you can go by because it's your, you know, they're going by dominant college teams by what they did. I'll just say this about the 2001 team. You could put all those teams that I just mentioned from the 70s to today. Sounds like a radio station. From the 70s to today with Clemson at 2018. And nobody in the future or in the past will have as many great players as the 2001 team had. From freshmen, sophomores, juniors. Most of the guys were gone after junior year. None of them stayed around for their last year. But that team was loaded across the board, from Andre Johnson to Jeremy Shockey to Clinton Portis. I just named guys that were Pro Bowl, really good players. You had a left tackle that was a high first-round pick and played. I mean, just you can go on both sides of the ball. Like, I don't want to leave anybody out. Nobody comes close. Of all those teams, as far as, okay, we're just talking about the best college teams, but to really realize if you got a bunch of dominant college football teams, you got to see how those guys do later. Like, did some of them not get drafted? A lot of guys end up being great college players with a bunch of good players in a good system, and you never hear from them in the NFL. The whole UM team went on to be, it's hard to find a bust in that whole group. That group went on, and I'm not saying they had Hall of Fame careers, but those UM guys had really, really good NFL careers. One you would love to have and can walk proud every day when you come back to Coral Gables and they're going, oh, hell yeah, you were a damn good player. And it's not even close. Johnny Rogers' team, Reggie Bush's team, Lynn Swann's team, the Texas team, and the Clemson team, we'll see how that all works out, starting with their quarterback. But, man, I will tell you, it's hard to imagine anybody having the talent the way it worked out, starting with Ed Reed because he's a Hall of Famer. But going to those linebackers, the amount of Pro Bowls, I'm not going to do it, but if you were to add up the Pro Bowls of the teams that played, from Sean Taylor and Winslow and Antrell, that was the freshman class. They were just sitting there going, hey, are we all special teams after this year? To the guys who were the frontline guys. I mean, it was...
And the way this list looks close. Like it was dictated had nothing to do with anything besides that single year or those 2 years that they were on those college teams. Because you are right. Because you look at the other teams on this list, and a lot of them had really good college football players. Look, that Nebraska team, not the one, but the other Nebraska team that make it with Tommy Frazier, he was really good. Lawrence Phillips, really good. None of these guys, a lot of these, I'm not going to say none, a lot of the guys that were frontline guys on these teams were terrible pros.
Well, especially in that Nebraska and back then in the Oklahoma system, because
right.
it was a wishbone.
Sure, it just it didn't work out in the NFL. Right,
the wishbone and those quarterbacks.
Matt Leinart, not a good quarterback in the NFL. Not a lot. If it's just strictly based on the college stuff, then there's a debate there. But if it's just on what happened from that team and forward, then there's no debate that Miami should be number one on that list. Very because of the players that happened.
And,
but they don't take any of that into effect.
No, I get
that's
that.
The crazy part.
No, it's not crazy. I mean, these lists are impossible to do, but they got me. I got sucked in, but they're important. Like, I wasn't mad when I saw where everybody was. I think the Clemson 15-0 team, what they did to Alabama, they got to be.
It was impressive, right?
That was with a freshman quarterback who we all think is going to be really special. But I don't know how you do that. I mean, it's great that you're able to put it together, but Nebraska ran that funky offense and I mean all that stuff. So anyway.
Like the 2005 Texas team led by Vince Young. Vince Young was great in college, terrible in the pros.
Yeah, he never worked out as
right.
a first-round pick.
All these guys that were these stars on these college teams, just they weren't great.
Hey.
Lynn Swann was a good pro, of course. There's names in there that you ended up seeing in the Hall of Fame in the NFL, but majority of those guys that were good on these teams just were not good pros.
USC had some really good 70s teams that were loaded with offensive linemen and guys across the board on both sides of the football. So I don't want to take away from those teams, but, yeah, man, when you go from skill to size to defensive pass rushers to linebackers to safety, I mean, you can just go across the board. That thing was sick in 2001 Rose Bowl, and a lot of those guys played in the Fiesta Bowl team too, which really should have been a slam dunk back-to-back championship. Didn't work out, and some will say, yeah. And how about the Sugar Bowl team the year before? And you're going, yeah. Yeah, that team
pretty
too.
Pretty good team also, yeah.
All those teams were real good. We got to go to break here. We've got all kinds of stuff going on to get to. So are we finding out who's going to get the Super Bowl halftime? Who it's going to be?
I hear everybody, the rumors.
Everybody wanted a little South Florida flavor.
Are we going to get it?
It's looking like it might have leaked out. They can't be happy, but it might have leaked out.
You knew it was going to leak out. No one could hold their mouth shut for that long, especially if they find
could
out.
Could it be this person? We'll come back and tell you more about that. We've got all kinds of stuff to get to here this morning, plenty of stuff. Boy, I'll tell you what, the Dolphins got their problems, and how about Adam Gase blowing away that lead? The kicking game was terrible. He cuts his kicker, picks up an old wide receiver, and is now getting ready to play a guy that just absolutely can't stand him, Jarvis Landry.
Yeah, daily fantasy this week, you might want to pick up Jarvis Landry.
Yeah, by the way, Baker Mayfield may throw it to him 20 times. You want to stick it to him, bro? All right, we'll do it. Apparently, everybody's saying the halftime show for the Super Bowl here in Miami is all set, and they're trying hard. But J-Lo looks like she's going to be part of the show. I know it won't be just her. They want to get more people involved. But J-Lo
is, I mean.
She, what?
Okay, I'll tell you what. My first impression, where's the Miami influence there? Outside of the fact she dates A-Rod. She's not from Miami. She's Jenny from the Bronx. She talks about New York. She talks about Brooklyn.
Yeah.
She talks about that.
You're right.
She's an L.A. person. Like,
this looks like a third home to her, right?
Right. Well, that's fine. But how many? So Julius Peppers lives down here, too. Doesn't mean he's a Miami native and plays in the NFL. Like, lots of people live down here at certain points in their life or have an extra place or have a condo in South Beach or live in Los Olas or live out west and all that land out there. That's fine. But don't tell me that's like a Miami influence. Like, J-Lo, to me, does not scream South Florida, Miami.
They were going to get a big act. I guess they're considering her the big act. And then they'll get some flavor of Miami.
There better be a lot more. You want to know the big act that screams Miami? That's kind of, I'm sure a lot of people turns them off. Pitbull is one of those guys. That's the big act. You know what I mean? That's not saying you need him for this.
Yeah, I don't know.
Not Uncle Luke or Trick Daddy or one of those guys, but like that screams Miami.
Probably be Flo Rida.
Okay.
Or
that screams more Miami
Pitbull
to me. Yeah. J-Lo doesn't scream Miami. Doesn't scream South Florida.
Somebody's actually born down here. But listen, J-Lo could be the big act, and so they're going there. And
like someone just texted, she doesn't represent the 305 or the 954 or the 786 or the 754 or the 561, whatever other area codes are down here. She's great. She's a good entertainer. Right. That's what it's going to be.
That's weird. That is
That's
weird.
What it's going to be.
So, listen, people love her. She's great. She's been able to sing and be an actress and do a lot of great things. And, of course, she and A-Rod, they can't literally anything they do turns into a social media story. They can't talk about a couple. Doesn't like anything private.
Those Everything two. Is yeah. on social media.
So anyway.
Are you okay with J-Lo? If that's the act?
No, I would prefer to have somebody else. But right. if she's it, then that's great.
It is what it is. Right.
But have we learned one thing about whoever gets the halftime show? Whoever gets it, there's a lot of people, especially when it comes to music. You're never going to get everybody happy.
No.
You use an old famous group. People are like, oh, they're so old and dead and tired. And then if you get certain kind of music and, you know, nobody's going to be happy. Whether you do great rap, whether you do R&B, whether you do rock and roll, whatever you do, somebody is not going to be happy. And look at the complaints about last year, Maroon 5.
Right.
So no matter who you are, according to what age you are and what you like, you're never going to get across. You'll never. I think people complained about Prince in the friggin' rain.
They better not have. That might have been the best,
one of the greatest shows of all time. So.
Purple Rain in the rain. You couldn't have scripted that any better.
No, that was. And by the way, he didn't.
He didn't diva it out and say I don't want to be out there. Right.
He didn't try to shorten it. He went all in on it and stuff. So yeah.
If J-Lo's the pick, great. I'm just not. Don't tell me or try to send out a statement that said that screams South Florida flavor. That doesn't. It doesn't.
I'm just trying to think of like. Nothing against J-Lo, but like who else could they get that everybody or a majority of the people would be happy when you're going across? And listen, you got so many people watching the Super Bowl, all different ages. And so you're not going to have everybody. I've just learned whoever you have, people are going to go, oh, that was terrible. Like, does she have any hit songs or, you know, is that it? And then it's who you put with her up there is also going
to
be.
Well, that'll be the next stage to this, right? If you're going to put some South Florida flavor, you have to get some
action. Oh, it's going
to.
Definitely Flo or Pitt or one of those guys. It's got to be. It's got to be a home. I agree. It's got to be a homegrown
right.
305 and not somebody that moved down here to in high school. That doesn't make you. Like, you can't go to Columbus High School your junior year. And all of a sudden, like, oh, yeah, you're a 305, like, right?
If you're trying to get Miami flavor, I understand what you're trying to do with J-Lo, but that's not Miami. That's not South Florida. She screams about being a New Yorker and Brooklyn and this. That's fine. And she's a great entertainer. She's in movies, and you got the A-Rod connection. But come on.
Yeah, but A-Rod connection has nothing to do just because he grew up down here.
Right. That's it. That's the closest
Different
tie she
deal.
Has to South Florida.
Well, anyway, that's the word on the street now is J-Lo is the halftime Super Bowl and the main act there. And, of course, they'll add some more to it and get a little bit of everything down there. Yeah, I kind of curious to see if there is a rapper that gets involved and how far back they go. Do they go old school? Got some old school guys? Or do they go something fairly new? So there's a lot to choose from. And
Gloria Estefan, Mark Anthony, Rick Ross, Pitbull, yeah. Casey and the Sunshine Band, and Flo Rida being texted in right now.
Yeah, no.
All these groups.
All those. Hell, we could throw a little Jimmy Buffett
right.
from the Keys to Palm Beach.
Gloria and the Miami Sound Machine, bring them all in. Right.
Yeah.
You do a little Cheeseburger in Paradise after Jenny on the Block, I think people would
Doesn't
be
happy. Doesn't it have to be kind of kind of match it up better? That's the only thing. Got to match it up a little
Such
better.
An odd grouping, yeah. right.
I don't know, like, but there'll be – you put Jimmy Buffett. Well, you put any of those guys in. So, you know, you two will be the first two bitching.
Right, 100%.
Like, oh
Someone
man,
just texted in the two live crew. I don't think that's going to work.
Luther Campbell. No, don't
that's
do
That's what it's going to be.
It can't be. Don't do Jenny from the block.
But that's
I'm
what
with
it's
going
to be.
I don't want to hear Jenny from the block.
Yeah.
You know what, Hollywood, I'm with you on that.
That's right.
Well, I will tell you, she's filling up. Her concerts are filling up
no,
the arenas.
She's got a big movie coming out, right. Yeah.
And, you know, and stuff. And, of course, a big birthday cake for A-Rod. I mean, who could forget that?
Right. No one ate that, right? No one had even
yeah.
a piece of that?
Anyway, we find out A-Rod hates cake. All right, are you done doing this?
Now people are all breaking it down. Mark Anthony's actually a New Yorker. No way for him. Trick Daddy, Ariana Grande is from the 561. Everyone's now texting in South
Boca,
Florida.
Though. Are we going to let somebody from Boca?
It's better than someone from the Bronx telling me that South Florida flavor.
Are we letting somebody from Boca? Hell, people bitch if it's 954. Doesn't it have to be a little bit? Because one thing about South Florida, and now the Dolphins have 305 Dolphin shirts. Now everybody's wearing 305 Dolphin shirts. They don't put 561.
No.
They don't put 954.
Because it's Miami Dolphins.
They
not
put
South Florida
305
Dolphins
on there. And so I don't know, man. We'll see how serious they get about it. I'm glad I don't have to make that decision. Because
someone said, Will Smith, welcome to Miami. No.
No. No.
I read online yesterday it's going to be J-Lo, Enrique Iglesias, and Pitbull.
Oh, you know what? Enrique Iglesias is down here, too.
As long as there's a Pitbull or someone like that, that would make it a little bit more South Florida. But don't give me a bunch of New Yorkers.
Don't you have energy? You got to have Pitbull, don't you? Doesn't that have to be a little Mr. 305, right?
Yes. Can you old fart stop at Jimmy Buffett?
He's been with girls all over the world. Oh, they're getting on Jimmy? Is Jimmy? No Jimmy or Jimmy? Yeah.
Hey, dummies, you're not supposed to listen to Jenny from the block. Put your TV on and mute it. Enjoy the show.
You mean that great
she's
body?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Listen,
when she starts shaking, that's when the show starts.
You can say whatever you want about her, but listen, that 50-year-old woman has taken really good care of herself. I don't know what kind of workout she does every day, but yeah, she looks fantastic. I agree with that.
I told you she had to get in shape for that new movie she's in about being a stripper.
Yeah, but I don't think she's ever out of shape.
No, but now she had to get into super stripper shape at that point. You saw that, right?
No.
You seen the previews for that movie? I mean, Joe, damn.
Well, listen, we got 7 o'clock hour coming up. We're getting closer to our stripper, our male stripper, Jeff Darlington from ESPN's going to
I don't think I'm going to introduce him like that.
JD. Right. JD's be coming up here. We'll talk to him. He's Antonio's new friend. Antonio Brown goes to him for a lot of stuff. We'll talk to him about how the hell this thing's going to end up and everything else around the National Football League that Jeff's career has just exploded in the NFL. We'll have all that stuff coming up top of 7 o'clock.